phenomenal.
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Ewert is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
On Seattle Sports.
Are we going to excuse you from manager?
Doesn't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Ewert and Mike Salk.
Hello.
All right, rolling along here on a Friday morning. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710salesports.com. And the Seattle Sports application as well. Brock, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
How are we?
I'm doing great, man. Got to see an old friend of ours yesterday, which was awesome.
Friend of ours?
Yeah, friend of ours. Friend of the show, friend of the station, friend of that room, friend of the building, friend of friends to many. Yep.
Football player?
Friend of you and me, friend of the room that we're in right there. Friend of Skyline High School.
Friend of Russell Wilson.
Friend of Russ.
Wow.
F-O-R. Yeah.
How is the great Jake?
Gosh, he is great. He looks as good as oh, man.
He's got like awesome. 9 kids now or something, right? He just keeps 13. Having kids.
13.
Yeah. Yes, it's a lot of children. It's a lot of children.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got 4. 2 boys, 2 girls, and they are done.
Is he?
Done.
Well, that's good. Is he moving to Pittsburgh?
He is not moving to Pittsburgh,
like
but did spend like 3 weeks with Russ and said he's in the greatest shape of his life.
I'm sure he does. I've heard that from Jake before. Oh, best shape of his life, huh?
Yeah, I
feel like I've heard that. Okay.
Jake is such a good people. So wanted to say hello to everybody out there in Seattle. Love Jake. And just a great
Jake is the best. For anybody who thinks you know Jake, you don't really know Jake. He truly is one of the nice guys around. Love the guy.
And let me just say one quick last thing. He's also a great teacher. Like, he really knows his craft. And I know there's a lot of young people in our market that have benefited from that with his different camps and teaching. And he's now way up at Elite 11 and just doing great stuff.
Brock, I have a long-held belief that those who are the most naturally gifted at something when it comes to sports are the worst teachers at it. Do you believe that?
I think there's a big part of that. Yeah,
it's pretty hard to break down what they do when they're like, I don't know. Just
that's right.
That's like your Dan Marino story, right? Of just I don't know, the guy was open. I threw him the ball.
So Felix Hernandez, just a little bit like, yeah, man, I just throw it. I just have this stuff. And Jake was a technician all the way around and a great teacher now.
Very cool.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you bring up Felix. It'll little transition here into baseball because now as we sit into May 3rd. First series against the Astros, it feels like the season's starting to kind of kick in a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of start baseball season by dipping your toe in the water a little, and, it's early, and you see what happens, and you have a game here and there, and you get upset, and then you get happy, and
Pirates start 8-3, and then they lose 13-15.
Right,
These
things kind of happen, right? You're like, okay. And you play, apparently now, with the new schedule, which I don't like, and I know that that's not a popular take, but okay, fine. Mm-hmm. You're playing, kind of rando teams from the National League and whatnot. And then you start a little division series with the Rangers, and it's meaningful because they're the reigning champs. And
they kicked your butt in that building last year.
Yeah, and there was a lot of comparison between the Mariners and the Rangers last year for the way they went about their offseason, and clearly one worked better than the other. And you play the Diamondbacks have a little something, a little juice, and the Braves had a little more juice.
Mm-hmm.
Even at 11-20, the Astros still carry a little bit of juice.
Oh, yes,
they carry now it's May. Now you're playing the Astros in their building with the stupid Crawford boxes. Let's go. Now the season's kind of underway. So I really am excited for this weekend series. And I went a little old school football. I decided to do some wants and needs.
Whoa.
It's a little hard because what do you really need from a series on May 3rd through the 5th? Nothing. Like, if I don't get my needs, you move on and that's not really the end of the world. But I don't know.
Kind of like marriage sometimes, right?
Exactly. Like, these are my
needs. You
don't
get all
you're not
going
to get them
all the time. Yeah,
okay,
right.
Fine.
So.
By the way, Heather very weirded out by you texting her.
Oh, no.
Very.
Oh, shoot.
She wasn't sure it was real. She was like, oh, is this a scam? am I being scammed by somebody?
What's strange? I could kind of feel that weirdness. She was so sweet and kind on the text.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I could feel like, ooh, I wonder if this is a little weird. I didn't think about it.
Yeah, she wasn't sure if it was actually you. She's like, am I being scammed by somebody who's like pretending to be Brock?
Yeah, 4 minutes to your wants and needs.
All right.
Uh-huh,
well,
go.
Since none of them are real needs, I don't know. You can take this with a grain of salt. But I want to see the offense score 15 runs in the series. I need to see the pitching keep Houston below 12.
Below 12?
Yeah. You need to. I'd like to see the offense score 5 runs a game for 3 games. I'd like to see the pitching keep Houston below 4 runs per game. Is that fair? In that building. It's hard. It's a hard one. I know.
And that group is not 11-20 because of their offense.
I was looking at their offense. It's not that great either. Like, it's been good. It's fallen off. Like, it's been good.
Yeah.
We'll see. Okay. I don't know. So that's where I'm at. I want to see Julio hit 2 home runs. And I'd like to see Julio have 4 extra base hits in the series.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see him get on base 5 times and drive in a couple runs. Mm-hmm. Like, just come through with guys on base, get on yourself, and just keep that line moving.
I want drive it. In.
Yes, I want it. I need it. I have to have it. Okay. I would like, Brock, I want Ryan Stanek to get going against his old team. Couple of iffy, sketchy outings again, right?
So he's been BABIPed.
He has been BABIPed.
He has been a little bit. He has.
I know. So I'd like to see him just, strike guys out in Houston and kind of dominate his whole team.
Love it.
I need the bullpen to not blow a lead during this 3-game series.
I
mean, it'd be nice
if they have
a lead. That would be helpful. I want to see Polanco find himself in a park where he's had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
Justin was looking at his numbers against Houston yesterday. They're spectacular. He's like dominated the Astros. Dominated them, right?
Why do you think we signed him? Yeah. He's an Astro killer.
Well, they didn't sign him. They traded for him. But yes.
Why do you think they traded for him?
Because he's an Astros killer. They got to go kill the Astros.
Like they did last year in their building.
Exactly. They did, right? 6-1 last year in that building? Okay. Well, I want to see Polanco find himself in a park where he's had a lot of success. But I need him and everybody else to stop kicking the ball around, please.
Mm-hmm.
Please stop kicking the ball around and play clean. You cannot give the Braves and the Astros and teams like that extra outs. You just can't do it.
Who's playing right field for you in the 3 games? You playing Mitchie there 2 out of 3? 3 out of 3? You going to give Rayleigh a couple shots at it? In the last 20 days, 15 days, the numbers between Mitch and Luke are significantly one way.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly one way, let alone some of the speed and defense.
Is it Rayleigh going to be playing left field?
Okay.
I mean, like, probably platooning with Dylan Moore in left, Haniger in right. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what that looks like. Yeah, maybe you're going to see Haggerty out there once.
Hang on, who's pitching for you?
Yeah, or who's pitching for them.
That's what I meant.
Right? Who's pitching for them? I want to see Mitch Garver catch a game. Just one. Just to get himself going and see whether or not there's something in there to...
Speaking my language.
Right, just to get his head focused a little bit different.
I want it.
Yes.
You offer me a Vegemite sandwich.
I don't know what it's going to take. I just need Garver to get himself right.
Yep.
Like, just get yourself right.
Yep.
I want to see them sweep, Brock.
Cool.
I need to see them not get swept. So there you go. Yes. There's some wants and needs for this weekend series.
Feels like you got a lot of them. Feels like you have a lot of them right there.
Well, we had nine minutes in the segment. Yeah, I mean, to have enough in there.
Jeez, very needy.
Am I?
Very wanting.
Am I a little wanting?
I need it.
A little. What is that from?
A lot of them. I don't know. Got a bunch of needs and wants.
Do you have any wants? I want it.
I want it.
What's the song? I want it.
I want it all.
We could do wants ranked at some point.
I mean, I want it.
I want it all.
Oh, Queen?
Yeah. And I want
it
now.
Who's the lead singer of that band? Would that be Freddie Mercury?
Have you heard the name Freddie Mercury?
Freddie's
off to a great start.
We're going to give you guys everything you need to know next. It's Brock and Salk, or maybe everything you want to know. I don't know. It's coming up on Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the Astros have certainly not been off to a good start, but it's not going to dampen the enthusiasm for this series at all. You beat Texas, and they're the reigning champs, but I don't think too many people have quite gotten past using the Astros as a measuring stick in this division. The Mariners, of course, have won 5 straight series, 4 against pretty good teams, and yet this should still be a pretty good test of where they're at. And they've got an offense that still needs to get going. John Morosi on yesterday with Wyman and Bob said, other than Julio, there is one guy that would help them the most.
Polanco, for me, because when the season began, there's a reason why for the first 2 weeks he was batting third every single day. They got him to be that player. It's rare that your offense revolves around your second baseman because typically you're getting it from your corner guys or different roles. But he is a switch hitter, supposed to be your everyday number 3 hitter. And when you talk about a switch hitter and the balance that he brings, ideally You're not worried about against a righty, he bats here. Against a lefty, he bats there. He's supposed to be there every single day.
Pretty good argument. And by the way, those Astros, let's remember, they've been to four of the last seven World Series.
Yep.
So in their core, the majority of those guys are all still there in their lineup that you're going to have to look at and you're going to have to deal with. Is tonight the best pitcher they've got going right now? Bomber's still kind of coming back, right?
Yep.
So I don't know if they'll see him or not. But tonight,
You see Fromber tomorrow. Tonight you see Blanco, and then Brown is in the last one.
Yep. So this is the one cat tonight that's actually pitched well for him. Fromber's been a little slow and a little bit banged up, as most of their staff has been. But, yeah, I know the Rangers won the whole thing, and they're the hot commodity. But this team and this core, they've won.
They feel so much more familiar, don't they? Like, you just know what the lineup looks like. You know what you're going to be in for. You know about some of the bad blood that these two teams have had with each other.
Oh, and they got that guy leading off whose bat's bigger than him. They got then
and
who's
on pace
face
for an unbelievable season,
and
by
then,
the way.
Does anybody have a more punchable face than Bregman? I mean, just a punchable face. And then Alvarez is just an absolute monster. And I know you can't. Kind of like Bregman. I don't really see him with Bregman. No, he's very, very annoying, and a lot of Mariner fans can't stand him.
I know that. I kind of like him. Kirby, Gilbert, and Miller will be your three who get the start here in Houston. Astros, by the way, did bash their way to a win yesterday over Cleveland. Rangers shut out the Nationals. The Mariners were off.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Fun time of year, Brock, as you start to get to know everybody. There's a lot of hope, a lot of opportunity to meet the new toys that are going to be out there on the field once the season begins. None more exciting than Byron Murphy, who's excited to be here in Seattle.
My first time walking in the building, man, I was just, you know, shocked, really, just to even come to Seattle. You know, this is my first time here. I ain't never been to Seattle, man, you know, and it's really nice, really pretty, you know, the water and everything. I see all the mountains, you know, the sun out, good little breeze. You know, it's nothing like that Texas weather, man. You know, in Texas, you get real hot. So, man, I'm just happy to be away from that. So, man, but yeah, man, it was a great feeling, though. Amazing feeling.
I was saying earlier that the more I just kind of think about this pick, see from him, read about him, watch him, et cetera, the more excited I am. This pick has grown on me over the course of the last week.
Yep. Yep. Sando wrote a good piece over there at The Athletic, and there was a great question in it that he asked executives. You know, had they gone Jalen Carter, Salk, last year, they would have gone corner in this draft. So would you rather have Terrion Arnold and Carter, or would you rather have Devin Witherspoon and Byron Murphy?
I'd rather have Jalen Carter and Troy Faltano.
Yep, most of those executives said they'd rather have Spoon and Murph, with the combination of the top defense tackle and certainly the top corner and nickel and linebacker and the influence that he had in his Pro Bowl season, they would have rather gone that route.
Well, either way, I am excited about him. Just his ability, I think, to disrupt up front. Disruptive defensive tackles are just rare, and they're awesome, and they wreck games for opposing teams. And we haven't really seen that here for a while, right? I mean, who's the last real game-wrecking defensive tackle? We've seen it on the edge. Right? Mebane did it to a point, but I mean, he wasn't a flash into the backfield and blow up your whole play kind of guy. That's what you're getting here. It's why Jim Nagy compared him yesterday to Grady Jarrett, and he's not the only one to make the comp.
He just reminded me so much of Grady Jarrett when I did him. You know, quick off the ball, powerful, explosive, plays hard, plays bigger than his size against double teams. Like, for an undersized guy, he's super hard to move because of the leverage. Yeah, just a really fun football player. Like, easily could make the case he was the best defensive player in the draft.
Well, that sounds fun.
And wait till you see him in person.
Really?
I mean, just a brick house.
It just stands out.
I mean, it just his legs is just power source. He's just immovable.
Here's the third thing.
I'm going to stop there on a Friday.
Good, that's nice. Yeah, I appreciate that.
It usually happens on a Friday.
Speaking of Jim Nagy, he joined us yesterday and made it clear that while Geno Smith may be the starter, he's not sure it should stay that way.
Yeah, it's a cool thing to stash him away, and I really hope they open it up. I hope it's an open competition, similar to like when they had Russell and Matt Flynn. I think Sam's the starting quarterback in the league. I'd just love to see him with a better supporting cast.
How do you disagree with that? How can you disagree? Why wouldn't you open it up? The argument against it, I suppose, is that you want to make sure your quarterback gets all the reps he can possibly get, mm-hmm. given that it's the introduction of a new system. But I said this before and I'll say it again, unless you are pretty convinced that you're a Super Bowl kind of a team, wouldn't the more prudent idea be to see whether or not you've got something?
Doesn't comeback player of the year, Pro Bowl, mean anything? Take you to the playoffs, build equity with your team? I'm just playing devil's advocate here of why you would not.
It means something.
I think Geno's earned the benefit of like 65% of the reps, 60%
What would be normal for a starting quarterback?
99% of the reps.
Okay, so you're not giving him 99?
No, I don't think so, no. Both of them have to learn it. Both of them have to learn a new system, but I'm not going 50-50.
All right, well, then I'll tell you what. That's everything you need to know. Let's open it up. I would be curious to hear from the people on this, and we got a few minutes here now because I don't think we're going to do open phone lines later. It's a long story, but we're not doing that later today. So this is going to be our opportunity today to hear from you guys. So 866-979-3776. Would you want the Seahawks to open up a quarterback competition and give Sam Howell a real shot at trying to win it? Okay, maybe it's not 50-50, but it's a real shot. It's not 90-10. It's not 99-1. You're giving the guy an actual opportunity to see whether or not he can wrestle that job away from Geno Smith. What if he does come out firing? What if he does win over the locker room? What if he does go crazy in the preseason games and throw the ball all over the yard against good competition? Mm. What if he is like Russell Wilson in 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Are you so great, so sure that this team is destined to get after a Super Bowl this year that you don't want to open up the quarterback competition to see whether or not the guy you just traded for, who Mike Lombardi said was better than every quarterback in this year's draft other than Caleb Williams? So, according to Mike Lombardi, if he'd been drafted this year, would have gone number two overall. You don't want to give that guy a shot? You want to just bury him and not give him an opportunity? 866-979-3776, the phone number, 866-979-3776. Should the Seahawks have a quarterback competition? It's next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports App. Into the great wide open.
Under the skies of the... You just feel a little Tom Petty this morning?
Talk about open competition.
An open competition.
It's kind of what I was thinking
into
there.
The great wide open competition.
But yes,
Jim Nagy says they need it. Jim Nagy, who is a former scout, been with the Seahawks, knows his way around the league, sees everybody at the Senior Bowl, was around Sam Howell, says open up the competition. No downside. Let these two guys compete for the job. The more I think about it, the more I think he's absolutely right about it. And I'm kind of curious what you all think. 866-979-3776. Brock, you say what? 60-40?
I say, yeah, Geno's going to get the first snaps. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt. He's going to have first opportunity and get a little more opportunity to eat.
Mm-hmm.
He's done more in this league. He's done more with his teammates. He's done more for this organization. Just because his contract is more does not mean he should immediately have more. But that also resonates, too, with the guys. Like, yeah, man, you know, this is our guy. Now, Sam, it's your job to go take it from him.
Are you going to give him the opportunity to go take it from him?
I am going to give him more than the normal backup, more than a Drew Lock would have gotten, or more than, you know, the traditional backups around the NFL are getting. Mm. I would do more than that. You know, when I went to Indianapolis, Peyton took every rep with all the ones. Absolutely. That's him. John Kitna, same thing here. Matt Hasselbeck, same thing here. And then you kind of get the scraps. I would give him a little more than scraps. I would give him, if there's 10 reps in a team period, he should get 3 or 4 of them. And Geno, you get the first 4, and then he gets 3, and then Geno, you wrap up the last 3. So, yeah, and oh, remember this too, you get extra practice time, right? They've gotten extra practice time. They got here a couple weeks early because of it, because of a new staff, so that I think affords you even more of that opportunity to divvy those reps in that manner.
866-979-3776. We are throwing caution to the wind this morning, letting the 7:30 crowd see if they can answer a question, and that is, would you open up this quarterback competition and give an opportunity to Sam Howell to prove he can win this job? Ryan will get us started in Houston. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm kind of in between two. I don't think it's necessarily 50-50, but I'm with Brock on the 60-40-ish, something like that. You kind of give Geno the benefit of the doubt, but the reality is if you don't have Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, Herbert, Josh Allen, you don't have any of those guys, You should give somebody the opportunity to kick the door down because there is some of that to where if you have it too far close, you don't know what you're getting. He said you need to give it an opportunity for 2012 for Russell Wilson to just knock it away.
You know, Salk, appreciate that phone call down there from Texas. Nice little accent, too. Mm-hmm. If I did Texas radio, I'd get an accent really, really quick.
Of course you would.
Do you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I was so proud of myself, too, really using one of your pieces of wisdom from baseball back in the day. And he said, well, you know why they're called a baseball manager, right? Not a baseball coach. Because they've got to manage people, manage situations, manage environments on a daily basis different than just a coach, you know, in a bunch of different spots. Now, you can have a hitting coach and pitching coach, but the manager, he's in a different situation. And then we went further as you taught me a little more about the game of baseball, and old Jack Wilson did kind of a turdy thing, and it gave the skipper at that time, I think it was Wedgie, the opportunity, or Wakamatsu, the opportunity to kind of lay down the law, like, no, this is not how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. They look for those situations and opportunities to manage through it. Here's a great opportunity for a first-time staff, much like Pete and John did in 2010, to say, guys, best man wins. Best man wins, right? We're going to compete, you know. And Mike McDonald said yesterday he's got different slogans. He does have some different things the guys are buying into. But I promise you the essence of it is still a level of competition that you aren't handed anything. You got to go and earn it. You got to go and take it.
Yeah, I would like to see that. And I'll do you one better. He says if you don't have a elite franchise guy like a Burrow or a Mahomes or whatever, okay, fine. That I would agree with. But I'd go one more, which is if you're not a likely Super Bowl contender, finding your next quarterback, figuring out what your future looks like at that position is the most important thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Why not open it up and see whether or not the guy you traded for has some of that in him? 866-979-3776. We'll go to Yakima and talk to Ed. Good morning, Ed in Yakima.
Good morning, fellas. Yes, open it up.
All right. Yes. Give us more.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go pick those cherries. But yes, give me more now.
New offensive coach, new system. You know, we always said Geno knows the offense, you know, so he's good. I like Geno. Nothing against him. Totally new offense. Could be a real opener for the young guy to come in, and he might be like Russell when he came in. You never know.
You never know. Brock, it's like we always say, Geno knows the offense.
Mm-hmm. Geno knows.
Is that something we've always said?
Sure, so Geno
now,
knows.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so now what do we say now?
I don't know. I never said it then. How do I know what I'm going to say now? That is not something I feel like I've ever
Salt
said.
Salt never knows what he's going to say, Ed. Like, his stuff just pops in his head.
What do you mean? We've always said Geno knows the offense. That's been the argument for Geno?
Well, just the familiarity, Salt, year after year after year with Shane Waldron did give him a significant leg up.
I thought Geno was the starting quarterback because he was the best quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just that he happened to know the offense.
I think the last couple of years, he was the better quarterback. I think when you're comeback player of the year, I think when you shock the world and have the season he had 2 years ago and leads a team to the playoffs, I think those things do matter.
They do.
And all that did matter. And his statistics, Salk, have been pretty darn good. His efficiency, his completion. Remember, he set franchise records, right? And it wasn't as if he totally fell off the cliff last year as that O-line kind of went to shambles in front of him.
And he did some good things late in games. This is not an anti-Geno thing. This is not Geno's
thing. Well, he feels like it's an anti-Geno thing.
Well, he can feel that way all the time. That doesn't make it true.
Follow him on Twitter. He ain't happy about this.
But that doesn't make it true. I mean, Geno is a pretty good quarterback. Maybe Sam Howell is also. And if you are trying to figure out what the future of your franchise is going to look like with a new coach, et cetera, why wouldn't you just? I'm not saying that you hand the job to Sam Howell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just opening up a competition and saying we don't necessarily have. You may like what Geno does, but he's not in that Patrick Mahomes camp. He's a good quarterback, and I'm curious what Sam Howell is. Let's go to Ian in Seattle. Ian has a different point of view. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Love you guys. This would be way too destabilizing to Geno. Like, I understand going for the future. That's really important. But if all you ever do is go for the future, then you're the Philadelphia 76ers, and you never actually win. You're just always going for the future. Geno's a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like that word, destabilizing. And, Ian, we love you. I mean, you love us. We love you at 7:30 for calling in and listening to the show. Always appreciate that.
Why do you think it destabilizes him?
Are you talking to me or are you talking to
you?
I'm
Mike?
Talking to you,
dude. Ian.
Ian, he kept you on the line,
I'm
Ian.
I love you.
He kept you on the line.
Stop it. Ian, I just want to hear more. Why do you think it would be destabilizing?
Yeah. You remember when everybody was trying to bring in Kaepernick? Like, they're half the league that wasn't, like, against him, was trying to say, hey, could he be our backup, right? And Pete was the only one that even brought him in for interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he decided not to bring Kaepernick in as a backup is because he knew that it would create this tension and destabilization with Russ in the locker room. It's like, this guy's, I thought I was the guy. I thought you gave me the keys, and now you're taking the keys away and telling me we have to go back to driving class. It doesn't make any sense in that moment with what you have and what you're investing in. So I think the same thing would be the case with Geno. They paid the contract, and they brought him in, and they said he's the starter. I think they should go with that.
Yep.
It's a good call. It's a really good phone call.
It is a good call.
You got a kid in the back seat there? How old's that kid?
He's 15 months. He's awesome. He loves the Seahawks already.
What's his name?
His name's Ezra Martinez.
Ezra Martinez, thank you for calling in today and keeping quiet for the most part.
I woke him up. I think I shook him when I yelled, he's on the line.
Don't shake babies, Brock. You didn't shake him. What's going in the other direction?
I'm sorry. We just got to let you go because the kid is killing me there.
I know, but now I've had them myself and I've recognized their value to society. Anyway, that's a really good phone call. I disagree with the point. I don't think Geno would be destabilized by that. I think he thrives on some of that. And I don't think he's in a Russell Wilson situation where he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league at the time, nor do I think he's as mentally fragile as Russ was, nor do I think that the Seahawks are in as competitive a position now as they were then. Good points. I disagree with them.
That was the word I was looking for when I joined my buddy down in Atlanta yesterday on radio. That's exactly the word that's happened to the Atlanta Falcons locker room. Totally destabilized.
I was going to say the same thing. Point. I was like, isn't this the Falcons? It sounds like he's describing Kirk Cousins.
That's exactly right. Like that, you just gave this guy $180 million, $100 million guaranteed, right. 15 years of equity in the league. Like, and now you're going to bring in a top 10 pick, and now you have
just destabilized.
But this
isn't either of those things. This is just opening up a competition to see whether or not the guy you traded for, who was a starter last year, is worthy of giving. And by the way, it's not just us, and it's not just Jim Nagy. Let's go back to what Mike Lombardi said yesterday.
And I said this to three or four head coaches in the league this offseason.
Yeah.
I would rather have had Sam Howell than a lot of these quarterbacks that are drafted in the first round.
Really?
So which one specifically? Would you rather have Howell?
Other than Caleb Williams, I probably would rather have Sam Howell than any of them.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, Washington didn't, right? Washington needed a reset. Washington needed a number two to take a guy that has the upside of Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think he has a pretty low floor, much lower than Lamar's. But they had Sam in the building. New ownership, new coach, new set of eyes, right? So, you know, it's not like it's the same crew that was like, oh, wash my hands of Sam. So, you know, it's not a perfect example. But if they love Sam, they knew him better. The ownership group, they got a firsthand look and they said no. We'd rather reset with a young stud like a Jaden Daniels and then, you know, go and trade Sam. And there was a lot of trade interest. I think that also gives Jim and Lombardi and those guys on that side some ammo. This wasn't just the Seahawks on a whim. This wasn't just me and Marvin Demoff trying to figure out the one team that could possibly trade for me. This was five different teams that really wanted his services.
And again, this is not, he should definitely start. Just give it a shot. I just don't think you have that much to lose. I don't think it would be that destabilizing in this case. Let me go to Brock in Seattle. Good morning, Brock.
What?
Good morning.
What?
How are you guys?
Brock in Seattle.
First Brock who's ever called this show.
Sheesh.
Are you named after Brock?
We've actually met. Brock and I have met. He was at the wedding with me, my sister's wedding, watching the the World Cup game.
And
actually, I cheered you on for years. When you were drafted by the Seahawks, I was so excited, and I wish that it worked out better for you.
What a disappointment that must have been.
I know. It was.
Well, you know what?
I didn't think when I met him, I didn't think he was that cool, actually.
Yeah, it's true. When
he started this show, I was like, all right, I'm going to give him a chance, and actually, I really enjoyed it, and I didn't like you, Sol.
No, that's not surprising.
I've always wanted to do this.
Appreciate that.
No, I've always wanted to do this. Okay, B-Rock, bring it. What you got? What do you think? What do you think, B-Rock?
We traded for him. Of course, you got to give him it's a third-round pick, basically, that played last year and has proven that he can play. So I would go 60-40, at least give him some time, show him what it can do with a different cast.
Yep.
Should I set myself up for disaster, Brock? Should I set myself up for disaster here?
With this Brock?
With this Brock. Yeah. I'm going to ask a question, but we're going to take one more call after, but I'll ask the question. And I'm going to set myself up knowing full well the kill shot's probably lurking behind us. Since when you first started listening all those years ago, 15 years ago, Brock, you said you didn't like me. When did that change for you?
Well, you're from Boston. I lived in New York for a year, so I didn't really like you. Boston.
maybe I don't like you. When did that change?
They didn't take very long. No. I do have to say, though, I kind of quit listening after Brock went away, though.
Yeah.
And then I came back.
Yeah, that happens. I get it. All right, but I don't care. Right. I like to be annoyed. You know what? Goodbye. I'm hanging up on you then. How dare you, Brock? What's the matter with you? Thank you for the phone call. You want one more? You want a no? Let's do one more no before Blue 88. Okay. How about Ira in Spokane? Good morning, Ira.
Good morning. Mike, first I want to say thanks for representing the old guys on the race.
I popped my
hammy 2 years ago, but like you, I smoked my nephews, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely, yes. Ira, I appreciate you. Right. Thank you. How old are you?
I am 48.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, all right. So we're in the same range. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Nice. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. It's a tough slide. Anyway, look, I loved the Sam Howell trade, but leave Geno alone. Leave him alone. All he's done is prove that he can start for the last 2 years. And the only reason we didn't make the playoffs last year was because the defense was a sieve, not because of the quarterback play. Mm-hmm. Second, I think it's better to just let Sam Howell sit for a year because he got absolutely shellacked in Washington. Mm. So, you know, with everything that is going to be changing, I just don't see a good reason to start a competition. Obviously, mm-hmm. if Geno starts to suck, then fine. You look and see what you got with Sam, but he's so cheap. You can do this next year.
Yeah, I mean, he's not popping a hamstring running 21.8 miles an hour.
Clearly not.
You know, not doing that. No. Not doing that. He wants this job. I want to talk about this for a little.
Look at my life.
Justin.
24 and there's so much more.
Gosh, yeah. That is such a good song. Days.
Yeah. Brock Hewitt sings that one.
That's one of my favorite
songs.
Yeah,
I bet it is.
Yeah.
I bet that's one of your favorites. That's by
Dylan
Freddie Mercury,
Seeger.
Right?
Dylan or Seeger.
Dylan or Seeger.
Not Dylan or Seeger. I'm sorry. That's one of the most distinct voices.
Oh, Peter Paul, Peter Paul
history.
And Mary.
Yes, Peter Paul and Neil Young. Let's go with Neil. Neil Young. You know what, Brock? Let's not ask you music questions. Let's ask you three football questions instead.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Heward breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
All right, buddy. Now that the draft picks are all showing up, other than Byron Murphy, which of these draft picks has the biggest upside relative maybe to where he was selected?
Yeah, I think it is. Well, two guys both bring this up. Two very respected, reputable scouts, former front office people, both brought it up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Jim Nagy did with us, talking about Nehemiah Pritchett, the corner out of Auburn, the corner that made his home in Alabama, the corner that Jim watched kind of progress and grow through high school and college. Here was Jim with us yesterday on that fifth-round corner from Auburn.
Nehemiah is more your prototypical Seahawks corner, you know, six-footer, long, 4.36, whatever he ran, somewhere in the 4.3. So, you know, big height, weight, speed corner. Thought he played his best year this year. Honestly, like the one thing I questioned in the past was finishing ability and just in making plays. And he made a bunch during Senior Bowl week.
Mm-hmm. And then yesterday on Twitter, Lewis Riddick, always about a week after, and I appreciate that, kind of lets the dust settle and says, okay, here's a non-first rounder that's going to make a significant impact. And Lewis has hit on a lot of these over the years. Just ask him. He will tell you on Twitter, like he called this guy. And he said, out of the Seahawks, he pointed to Nehemiah Pritchett in the same way that Jim did, just from a speed, size, strength, all the tools in the world. And I think what you hear there from Jim is just ball skills, right? Just the instinctive ball skills. Because usually, Salk, when you're that size and that length and that speed and that production, and remember, I think he only had like 12 passes caught on him in the SEC, which led the SEC. Usually you don't last to the fifth round of a draft. But I think it's just the instincts to the ball going and taking it away. So Carl's going to have to do some work with him. But Nehemiah Pritchett certainly on the radar, both Jim Nagy and Lewis Riddick.
All right, question number two. Well, you mentioned this with Gino earlier, Brock. He did tweet yesterday that when he's done playing, he has no interest in being in the media. What do you think's going on there?
Yeah, Gino not happy on Twitter with a lot yesterday.
Really?
So, yeah, I'll continue. Let's see. He's a pretty busy tweeter, actually. But he went through. Yeah, well, actually, he replayed some of Mike McDonald's comments, including one he played number cut here. Number 10 on our little cut sheet right here. This was Mike McDonald yesterday on NFL Network, asked about Geno Smith. Geno retweeted this one. I think he liked the comments of his head coach.
Geno's been great. He's been great. I mean, they spent a lot of time outside the facility with some of the offensive guys and just feeling a lot of buy-in, and we're trying to empower him, you know, to really take the reins of the offense and the team. And I think he's taking the bull by the horns and asking everything, you know, or doing everything that we're asking him to do. But he's had a great first couple weeks. And, you know, it's the start of this. So, you know, it's a process, and we'll take it slow as smooth and smooth as fast, and we'll build it the right way. But Geno's right at the tip of the spear.
Some guy named John Frischella Football on Twitter yesterday.
Bull by the hands.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Tweeted.
Bulls have horns?
Uh-huh.
Take the bull by the hands.
Interesting. Thanks, Adam.
Not nice. Seattle Seahawks starting quarterback Geno Smith is, quote, on shakier ground than people realize. According to a West Coast source, the Seahawks front office believe they got, quote, a steal in the Sam Howell trade, and they are astonished at how productive he was despite a poor team around him. Geno Smith retweeted that and said, "You just made this BS up. Media is full of liars. It's so crazy." Went on to say, "I'm calling y'all out from now on. Y'all lied all off season. There was a tweet with supposedly Geno working out with AB and Zay Flowers, to which he said that workout with AB was 6 years ago. Zay was a freshman in college. I think that's why he went down the road of I will never do media, because it's full of liars."
Well, that, stuff like that, is that even really media, or is that like pseudo media? I mean, like, I don't even really know what all of that is. That feels more like random Twitter garbage.
Feels like some guy trying to tweet that Sam Huber made a decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of calling that media, I feel like, is a very generous view of the word media, but fair enough. I get where Geno's coming from. I tell you what, that would drive me insane.
I'm going to answer the next question, by the way, and then I got a 1 minute story that you'll go.
I'm excited about it. All right, question number three. Speaking of Geno, he had the top speed, Brock, the fastest top speed of anybody in the Seahawks minicamps or OTAs, whatever they were.
Yep.
What else stood out from those speeds?
A couple things stood out. I didn't realize, number one, he's pinned that. That's his pinned tweet on his profile.
Yeah, he's pretty proud of the speed.
Yeah, he should be. Year 12. Number two, I didn't realize every guy's speed. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Every single Seahawks speed that's there at these OTAs and workouts is listed there, which is really cool. I have further found out that those do change on a week-to-week basis. So they are competing for the Seahawks' fastest man. That was just week one. We've not gotten a snapshot yet of week two or three or four. Maybe players were told, you know, we can keep a few things in-house here. Don't necessarily need to tweet everybody's business. That would probably be my guesstimation. You know what jumped out, though? Leonard Williams, almost 18 miles an hour. Yikes. Faster than obviously Dre and Morris and Hank. Like, yeah, he's right there. He was 17.98. He was right there with Farrell Brown, the pretty tight end, at 18.1, and Uchenna at 18.4.
Wow.
That big cat's got that nickname for a reason, because that big cat can run.
Wow, pretty impressive. All right, there you go. That is today's Blue 88. Seriously, I don't blame Geno for being mad about that stuff. That would drive me insane.
Yeah.
I think it's one thing. I think when you are a professional athlete and certainly a starting quarterback, you know you're signing up for some of the conversation that will take place around you.
Yep.
And honestly, I would be surprised, not that he wouldn't be upset about the conversation we just had or Jim Nagy said about whether or not he should, you know, there should be a competition. I'm sure it's hard to hear people talk about you like that. But I think as a pro athlete, you know that part of the reason, you know, part of the job is accepting that there are going to be conversations about you.
Yep.
To have stuff made up about you must be freaking infuriating.
And I think in this case, what really ticked him off the most, and probably little Ezra driving around with Ian as well, what gets Ezra going the most is that he feels that's divisive between he and Sam.
Absolutely.
Like he's in Cabo smoking cigars and golfing with Sam. He really likes Sam. Like, don't do this. Don't play these games.
That's
don't do this crap. Don't try to be and try to make a story and be divisive when there's nothing there. And even if there is going to be a healthy competition in his mind, let's go for it. Like, I'm sure they were on the golf course where Sam probably took his money from what we know about Sam's golf game.
Right.
Depending on how many strokes he gave Gino. But I bet you that was the impetus of it. Like, come on, be better than that. You know, and don't try to create something and try to create some ire and try to create something with me and Sam that just isn't there when you have.
All right, give me your 1 minute story.
I am sitting at a fundraiser back in the day with the great Jeff Kemp, former Seahawk, son of Jack. Awesome, awesome guy. I am in the media now. I'm now calling games locally. I'm doing some of those things. Jeff is at this pretty big fundraiser. He's a keynote speaker, does an amazing job. And he says, you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys. I'm not going to be some former player that's just going to go into broadcasting and just go into media and go call games. And we had known each other a little bit, so he finished up. And I just went up to him. I said, you know, I'm really sorry about being one of those players. And to this day, like 20 years later, every time I see him, I'm really sorry that I just chose that slappy route to just be a broadcaster in media.
What's he
I didn't
doing
mean
now?
It like that. I didn't mean it anything
what
like that.
What is he that. Doing? Did he go into politics?
No, he went to nonprofit ministry and just does awesome, awesome stuff. So a lot more meaningful than just being some slappy broadcaster.
His dad, first of all, was a really good quarterback, right?
Yes,
and then
was
also a pretty significant player in the Republican Party in the 80s.
Yes. Yes.
Late 80s, early 90s. He was like right there with George Sr. and mm-hmm. Robert Dole and mm-hmm. the rest of that group. Wow.
Yep.
Pretty cool. All right, Brock, coming up next, good stuff there in Blue 88. G. Scott will be in at 8:30, give the people what they want or something near that. Anyway, some reasonable equivalent.
He's got some Clippers today, too.
He's too
Appreciate
late.
You wearing short
oh, he
sleeves.
Is too late, man. I am smooth as a baby's bottom right now, man. Don't even worry about it. Yeah,
Heather waxed you last night?
Wax, no, just the shaving. Thank you. Coming up next, Mike McDonald is new, and he is answering a lot of questions about his newness that I find very interesting. It's next on Brock and Salk.